Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, my soul, somebody left their faith promise commitment right here. There's enough here to meet the goal if you'd have just not lost it. My soul. People are so careless with their offerings, aren't they? Man, that's holy money. God said if we don't give our tithes and offerings, we're cursed with a curse. I didn't say that. God said it. I'm just telling you what God said. You know, people are the same everywhere. I had a man one time in our church that said, he said, I'll not fill out an offering envelope. The Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, or vice versa. I said, you really know the Bible, don't you? He said, I know that. I said, did you ever notice that it says that in reference to giving alms? Helping the poor? Don't do it and run around bragging about it. Just do it. Like God doesn't know what you're doing. Then every year, we use cards, not fish. I've not gone this liberal route yet. It's always rough when you're, you know, you can say what you want to while you're up here, preacher, but the last person up here. But you know, we have people every year that take a card, and we always have them fill it out and fold it and put it in the offering plate. They don't have to sign it. But we'll have people who will take a card, pretend as though they're writing on it, fold it over and put it in the offering plate, and it's blank. They're afraid that others, what others might think. Have you ever wondered what God thinks? When we claim His love, His grace, His salvation, and we don't care about what He cares about. I taught my people that when we give our tithes and offerings, we're giving it unto the Lord. Well, we're giving it to that church. That preacher will spend it. No, the Bible says we're giving it to the Lord through His church. The pastor is a steward of the Lord. But, hey, he don't get it. It's used for the Lord's work. I taught our people when the offering plates passed, visualize when you put your offering or your tithes or your missions in that plate. Visualize putting it in the hand of Jesus. We're giving it to Him. He sees, He knows, and He blesses accordingly. Open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. By the way, $161 should be nothing in a crowd this size if we simply would do what God asked us to do. And I'm telling you, if you knew how God blesses His people who are faithful to give as God directs. Have you ever had that still small voice say, give that family this or that. Give that family $100. Or give that special offering to that missionary. Just go put it in his hand. I have. And I'm telling you, when I hear that, I do it. this week when the missionaries were standing around. Mrs. Smith and I were not a part of it. But God spoke to my heart. And I took out $100 and $20 bills. And I said, honey, go give these to the missionaries' wives. And she did. And I sat there, and before the night was over, people had come by and given me more than I'd given to give to the missionaries' wives. Hey, that's the way it works. You said it hadn't worked for me. Well, try the first part of it first. First things first. You don't get before you give. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's the principle. Hey, that's the very words of Jesus. And you know one of the things that he cannot do? He cannot lie. So learn to trust him. It's a wonderful thing. Have you found your place in Philippians chapter 4? Out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're able to stand, stand with me, and I will begin to read in verse number 15 of Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing, and he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no man communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Notice that word, communicated. Over and over again, it's used by the Apostle Paul, and it's not talking about just carrying on a conversation with each other. It's talking about giving and receiving. And he illustrates there, "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." By the way, that's a promise. And it's a promise made to a people in a church that gave again and again to a missionary and his ministry. Hey, you can't claim it if you're not a missions giving Christian. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and forever. Amen." Now I want you to notice particularly verse 18. Paul said, "I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. And I want to speak to those of you who ask God what he'd have you to do, and you've done it. You've made that commitment. Here's the title of my message. Something sure smells good around here. That's what God said. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Something sure smells good around here. Father, thank you for these dear people who honestly ask you what you would have them to do concerning world missions through their church. Thank you that they ask and they obeyed. And would you help their number to grow? God, if we knew the potential of our churches, if God's people would do what you ask them to do, it would stagger our imagination. Help us not to be content to just be satisfied where we are. But help us to learn and grow in the matter of giving as well. Now bless this church. Thank you for these people who have made a commitment for this next year concerning world missions. And Lord, I pray even tonight some in this congregation, maybe new Christians, young Christians, or maybe Christians that have not quite got to where they need to be in their relationship with you. Help them to get right about this matter and get on board and watch what God is about to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Every now and then when I pastored, our auditorium was a 1,200 seat auditorium. And we live in an area that can get very dry during the summer. And even in the wintertime, moisture is absorbed quickly. And every now and then you'd walk into our auditorium and the floor traps, the drains, floor drains in our bathrooms, all the water had evacuated out of them. You know, a pea trap is like this, and it holds water in the bottom part of it. And that water is there to block the sewer gases from coming out of the sewer into your building. Well, in our area, if you don't put water in that trap regularly, it evaporates out. And every now and then I'd walk into the auditorium on Sunday morning. I was always the first one there, and I'd go in and walk up and down the aisles and pray over the place before people started coming in. But sometimes I'd walk in that door and, oh my soul, the smell would knock you down. You didn't have to wonder if the custodians had followed our instructions and poured a gallon of water in every pea trap on Saturday, because the smell would be awful. I bought a case of potpourri. It's Cajun potpourri deodorant spray. It was the strongest stuff I could find. And when the sewer gas came out, I would get that and I'd spray that place down, and people would walk in and smell that. I think I was the only one that liked the smell. But it covered the sewer smell. And are you aware that the Bible tells us that God also smells? There's some things that are a sweet smell to God, and others are a stench in his nostrils. Tonight for our message, I want to give you five things that offer up a sweet smell to God. As I said before, the title of my message is, something sure smells good around here. We just finished our faith promise commitment. And many of you, dear people, have joined your pastor and you've made a personal commitment to give above your tithe through your church for the purpose of supporting world missions. That money is not used for salary. It's not here at the church. It's not used for maintenance here at the church. That money is used for foreign missions, for world missions through your church. And I want you to know, because you gave today, according to the promise here concerning the giving to missions, I think God up in heaven is saying in reference to you, something sure smells good down there at Heritage Baptist. Now let me give you some things that God says or a sweet-smelling odor to him. The Bible tells us that worship with sacrifice, praise, and thanksgiving is a sweet-smelling savor to God. Now, folks, I'm not talking about these modern praise and worship services. I think God looks at them and does this. Okay? But I'm talking about honest Christians who come to worship Him and praise His name and give thanks. They sacrifice in their giving. And I think it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. Let me give you some scripture. Remember old Noah? He built, after he got off the ark, the Bible says, and Noah built an ark unto the an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I'll not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I've done. Now God said that sacrifice offered by Noah and his family was a sweet-smelling savor. They recognized that their deliverance wasn't the ark, it was God. And they worshiped Him, they praised Him, and they offered sacrifice. Now Noah and his family had been on that ark for about a year and 17 days. 5 months floating. 7 months on Mount Ararat until the water went down. The whole earth had been judged by God, and all living flesh on earth had been destroyed except for 8 people, the animals and the fowls that were on board the ark. The first thing Noah and his family did when they got off the ark was to build an altar. Well, I think the first thing they probably did after being in there with all those animals and birds for a year, shut up, they got off the ark and said, inhaling fresh air. You've never been to a barnyard. Sam, you ought to understand that. You've never been to a barn. Can you imagine what it smelled like on the ark? And they got off the ark. I think they took a deep breath of fresh air. And then they built an ark. And they sacrificed those animals and praised God for His provision and protection as God judged a world of sinners. God said when they built that altar and offered that sacrifice, something sure smells good down there. Dear folks, it hadn't changed today. When we worship God and we learn to praise Him and we give sacrificially and we thank Him for His blessings, God still says, that sure does smell good down there. If it was good in Noah's day, it's good in our day. God wants His people to love Him, to thank Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. And God wants His people to be willing to sacrifice. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And in our saying so, it would be good if we'd learn not just to talk to other people, but talk to God. And let Him know how much we love Him, how we appreciate Him, how we thank God for Him. Secondly, the prayers of the saints are a sweet-smelling odor unto the Lord. In the Old Testament, temple and the wilderness tabernacle, there in the holy place was 3 articles of furniture. There was a golden lampstand, a table of showbread, and there was a golden altar where they burnt incense. Daily, sweet spices were burnt on that golden altar, and it sent a sweet fragrance throughout the tabernacle. The altar of incense with the burning spices was a picture and a type of prayer as priests meditated and prayed in behalf of the people. The sweet-smelling incense represented the prayers of the saints. That's what it says in Revelation 5:8. It represents the prayers of the saints. And dear saint of God, when we fall on our knees and we cry out to God, we're acknowledging that Christ is Lord of all. When we cry out to God in prayer, we're admitting our inadequacies and we desperately need Him. When we cry out to God in prayer, we're acknowledging our need of Christ in our daily life and every aspect of our life. When we cry out to God in prayer, we're confessing our sin and praising God and giving thanks. And when we cry out to God in prayer, we're asking for His help and acting upon our faith, to act upon our faith. Our prayers reach into heaven to the throne room of God and are a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. When the Christian prays, God up in heaven says, something sure smells good down there. Number three, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we're given an example of two more things are a sweet smell to God. Listen, Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The sacrifice of Christ for sinners is a sweet smelling savor to our God. But let me tell you what else is a sweet smelling savor to God. You see, we cannot imagine the stench of sin in God's nostrils. He is a holy, holy, holy God, and sin is rotten and putrid and wicked, and it's a stench in His nostrils. But when Jesus stepped up to Calvary and became the sacrifice for our sin, God said that sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savor to Him, because there Jesus paid for our sins. He redeemed us. His redemption made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, our sin to be blotted out, washed away, and never remembered again. God said that was a sweet-smelling savor to Him. You look further in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Christians walking in the love of Christ for one another and imitating Christ in their lives are a sweet smelling savor to God. We're to walk in love as God as Christ loved God. Do you love God that way? He's our example. We're to follow in His steps. We're to walk in love for one another as Christ has loved us. That's what the Bible says. We're to walk in love for the unsaved world as Christ loved them and gave Himself for them. Giving and sacrificing is what God did. And I'm telling you, when Christians walk in love for one another and walk in love for Christ and walk in love for souls, God in heaven says, it sure does smell good down there. Hey, as God kind of looks over your house, and what does He smell about your home, your life? When He comes to church, what does He smell at church? I hope it's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God, because His children are walking in love for God as Christ loved God, and walking with love for one another as Christ loved us. God's saying, that sure does smell good down there. Fourthly, the soul winner and his witnessing to the lost smells sweet to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Listen to the word of God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are that perish. To the one were the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Now what does that mean? It means to the unsaved, we who are witnessing Christians are the smell of death unto death. You know what a witnessing Christian reminds the unsaved of? They're lost and on their way to hell without hope. That's the reason doors are slammed in our face. That's the reason we get cussed out from time to time. To the unsaved, they look at a Christian telling them about Jesus and reminded of their lost condition and their eternity without God as they are. Verse 16 tells us that we remind the saved, the unsaved, of their end and their judgment. But to the saved we have the witness of life worth living here, plus life everlasting in heaven after this life is over. And to God, the witnessing Christian is a sweet-smelling savor. He tells us that a soul winner is wise in Proverbs. In 2 Corinthians 15, he tells us a soul winner smells good. And in John 15, he tells us the soul winner has special privileges in prayer. Two times in John chapter 15, the context of that 1 through 16 is bearing fruit. Talking about winning souls. And to those who are witnessing to win souls, he said, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I had a man say to me one time, that's a misprint. I said, if it is, he misprinted it again in verse 16, because he says it again, to those who have fruit that remain. One souls to Christ, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Oh, up in heaven, God looked down yesterday at soul winners that went out. You say, but I didn't have any saved. Well, you don't win everybody you talk to. And we can't save anyone. All we can do is give out the gospel. But when we obey God to go and give out the gospel, God says, something sure smells good down there. Hey, are you a Christian that smells good to God? Let me hurry on. Finally, God tells us in his word that our giving to send the gospel around the world is an odor of a sweet smell unto him. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul was down to one supporting church. One supporting church. You know what the average missionary would have done today? They'd have quit. Paul just kept on. But this church at Philippi, this church in Macedonia, communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Here it is, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God. You see, their giving was sacrificial giving. The church at Macedonia was very poor. Very poor. but they gave sacrificially. Their giving was consistent giving. They did it over and over again, and they kept on giving when others had stopped. This kind of giving is not only acceptable unto God, the Bible says it's well-pleasing unto God. You do understand what sacrificial giving is. Sacrificial giving is not merely giving what we're supposed to give, but it's giving from what we have left over after we have given what we're supposed to give. Sacrificial giving is taking something set aside for yourself and giving it to God for His work. Sacrificial giving is always love giving. And nobody gives sacrificially alone, because God will not be a debtor to any person. You can't outgive God. Well, He's not giving to me. You start the process. You know, I've got a sermon I'm working on. God said, I will if you will. He said, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He said, if you'll confess your sins, I'll forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says, in reference to giving, you give and I'll have men give back unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Do you understand what that pressed down, shaken together and running over means? It means, first of all, you're going to determine what you're going to give, the measure you're going to give to God. Some of you have chosen to give to God in a thimble. And God says, I'll use that same thimble to measure my blessings back to you, except when it's given back to you, it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Some of you have chosen a number three wash tub to measure your giving. God said, I'll take that same wash tub and I'll add to it until it's full and running over, and I'll shake it down and press it down and add to it till it's overflowing, and I'll give it back to you. And hey, you can use that same principle on a dump truck or a boxcar. But you and you alone are deciding how God's going to bless you this coming year by your giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over. Hey, the most blessed people in this church are not those that make the most money. The most blessed people in this church are those who are faithful to give. They give their tithes and offerings. They give their faith promise. They give sacrificially, and God just keeps giving back so you can give again. But let me tell you how most Baptists do it. You see, our source of supply is God. It's not your farm. It's not your job. It's not this. It's not your investments. Our source of supply is God. He can cause your crop to dry up in the field and you never harvest an ounce. He can send a drought and destroy it. He can take that job away from you in a moment. He can take your health where you can't work. Hey, God is our source of supply. We'd better learn to depend on Him, not government, not our job, not our working ability, not our talents and so forth. God is our source of supply. We'd better learn that truth and not forget it. But here's the way the average Baptist does. We'll hold up our hand and get it from God, and God then would have us to give it. And He'd have us to take the tithe and the offerings and give it. And the rest is for us to live on. But here's the way the Baptist will do it. you stop giving, he'll stop giving back to you. But oh, when we as God's children learn to give, God says, it sure does smell good down there. And tonight, for many, and I have no doubt most of the members of this church, in reference to your faith promise giving for world missions, God saw it. He knows, and he's looking over you right now, and according to the scripture, he's saying, something sure smells good down there. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in such a way that God says it's a sweet-smelling odor unto me. I don't want to live my life in such a way that God says, there's old Bob Smith. No. I want him to be pleased with my life. And I want it to be a sweet smelling savor. Now listen, let me say just a word to those of you who have given and made your commitment. You made it by faith. And for faith to be faith, it's got to be tested. And the old devil's going to see to it that somewhere in the course of this year, you're going to run up against a little wall and have a little problem. And the old devil will say, hey, you can take that faith promise and use it for this and get out of that problem. Don't you do it. When you stop giving what you've promised God, it stops being faith giving. God's going to allow you to be tested because you're not found faithful until you've passed the test. And if you don't pass the test, you've got to take the course over. There's no social promotion with God. Be faithful and watch God provide and bless you. Determine that your living and your giving is going to be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And remember, promotion and provision only comes after testing and being found faithful. It's been a wonderful week. Mrs. Smith and I have thoroughly enjoyed being here. You've been so kind. You've made us feel welcome. Thank you, men and women, for coming by and saying hello and making us feel like we're important. We're just a sinner saved by grace. And this has been a treat to Mrs. Smith and I. Thank you for that. And thank you, children. You little boys and girls, you young'uns around here, you've come by and said, hello, preacher. You've talked to me. Some of you have given me hugs. And I want to thank you for making me feel like I'm somebody. But let me tell you, I'm just a preacher. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And the one that deserves our love, deserves our admiration and our devotion, is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. I've been preaching now for 55 years. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not one of these that regrets it. If I had 10,000 lives to live, if he'd let me, I'd be his preacher in every one of them. And some of you, God is speaking to about your life and what he wants you to do. And the old devil's telling you how bad it's going to be and how awful it is and all you're going to miss. The devil's a liar. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you the privilege of standing for him in a world that needs Christ. And with that, yes, there comes work, and yes, there comes trials and temptation, but they're in our life anyway. But I'm here to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to walk with God. It's a wonderful thing to have prayers answered. It's a wonderful thing to have His blessings upon your life. It's a wonderful thing for God to look down at you and say, something sure smells good down there. Thank you, church. I pray that God will make up that $161 a week. He can. But He's chosen to do so through His people. He's not looking for some sugar daddy out there to do it. He's not looking for some rich person in the church to do it. He's looking for boys and girls and men and women, little widow women and widowers that'll say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. That's how our missions programs are financed, by hardworking people in our church, honest people in our church that give. And God says, that sure does smell. Father, that's our message tonight. Would you speak to our hearts? I can't believe that we've come through a missions conference and you haven't spoken to some young man or some young lady, some young couple about giving their lives to you as your servant. I believe you have. And all the need now is for them to make that commitment, that surrender. And Lord, before you want our money, you tell us you first want us. You want our life. And oh God, help us to search our hearts. Help us to listen closely to that still small voice. Help us be willing to yield our life and surrender our all to you. Thank you for the dear people of this church who have made their commitment to you and have kept it in the past and will start out this year with the same commitment. Thank you for those that made a commitment and increased it over last year. Thank you for the new people in this church that are starting this year to get involved in their missions program here at their home church. God, add to their number. We have such a short time left to do your work before it's all over. We don't have an endless calendar. One of these days, you're going to say, that's it. And you're going to step out and come back to rapture the saved. After that time, there'll be no more missionaries on the field. There'll be no more local churches having missions conferences. It'll all be over. The time we've got is right now. And I pray you'll help us to be faithful, to give, to go, to pray, to send out missionaries around the world. And help that young man and that young lady, that young couple to whom you're speaking, about giving their life to obey you, even tonight. In Jesus' name.